Praise the Lord. So glad to see you all in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Father God, I thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. I want you to be in the rest of this service, Father. These people came out, Father God, to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, you're going to do that. Lives need to be changed. Mindsets need to be changed. And some lifestyles need to be altered, Father God, for the good. And I'm asking you, Father God, to move among your people tonight and do the works that needs to be done within each and every one of them. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've been telling you that the only way that you're going to win others to Christ is if when you're around them, they feel the power of God coming from you. But I'm also going to tell you this, that God's getting ready to drop his glory. And God said, if you weren't right when he dropped it, you weren't going to receive it. Because he gave you all the chance in the world to get it, and you didn't get it right, you didn't get it right. So tonight, I really want you people to start thinking, where am I really at? I've been telling you this forever, but I'm telling you again, you need to get out of your sin nature, and you need to start walking in the fullness of the power of the Father. There's like that song said, if I really believed this, I would walk in his power. Isn't that what that song said? I played that song for that purpose. I wanted you to really, I tell you, listen to what you're singing. If you really believed everything that you say you believe, then you wouldn't be giving in to the whims and the wiles of the devil. You just wouldn't. Every one of us in this room have every chance in the world. I keep teaching that to my grandson over and over again. We all have choices to make. We can either choose to live for God or not live for God. Nobody can make me not live for God. Believe me, they've tried. They can't steal God out of me. They've tried that too. I'm here as a standing testimony to you that you can live for the Father. All right? And the reason why you don't have power and authority in deliverance ministry is because you still have an unholy lifestyle. And God's not going to show up in an unholy lifestyle. So if you really want the power that Jay Bartlett walks in, then live holy. Live pure. Live clean. Love your wife. Take care of your family. You hear what I'm saying here? You can't go out there and do these things in Christ having a messed up life. Your life has to be right before the Father. I don't know how many ways I can tell you that. And we're all wanting to be exalted and lifted up and look at me. And what are we looking at? What are we looking at? What do people see when they look at you? God is angry with the body of Christ. We're supposed to be having a really good time this Christmas, this month of December. But the body of Christ doesn't have it together. How can you be happy when you don't have it together? You're listening here. And you know, this is not walking under condemnation. This is the truth to set you free. And the truth really will set you free if you listen to the truth. Sister Nancy Connell sent me something Katie Sosa said. She said, this is what you teach. And she said to get it together and get it right. And see, this is where God's at right now. We have to get it together and get it right. We cannot be out there pretending we're something that we're not. We just can't, church. It's not going to make it. It isn't. I just want you to really and truly, you really and truly need to get this together. I'm telling you, God told me he's going to start taking people out of the church again, and I'm going to be surprised who's left. So you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. Shoe fits, put it on. You're doing something you shouldn't be doing, and God's not going to allow it no more. He said he's going to separate the sheep from the goat. And it isn't that I haven't warned you. It isn't that I haven't loved you, haven't taught you. It's your decision not to do what God's asking you to do. Come on. And God has sent a couple of new people in here that I know. He's shown me he's going to use them mightily. And he said when he sends you out, whoever he's going to send out, he's going to send people in there who really work with me, work with him, and he'll be able to do the things he wants to do in the house of God. So think about where you're at. Think about where you might end up at. And say, I'm not afraid of losing you. If you're not of God, then, you know, you're not doing God any good. My job is second John the Baptist. My job is to teach it like it is. And those who say I'm teaching false doctrine know me, and they don't like me to teach it like it is. Because if they liked it, then they would have to change. All right? And they don't want to change yet. Tonight I'm teaching on you are catalyst of the glory of God. Now this is somebody else's teaching, but it is of God. I know it is, and it's really stuff that I've been preaching here and there, and you know, and it's just all together. I've told each one of you, you are a person that God wants to work through. There's not a person in here that God doesn't want to work through, but you're going to have to meet his requirements. All right? Now, it's like when you get a job, you have to meet their requirements, right? My first job I got, I didn't meet any requirement. None. But I got the job. I was totally shocked I even got the job. And I said to the guy, why did you hire me? I didn't qualify. He said, there was just something in you that told me that I needed to hire you. And you've proven to be everything that I felt. He was a Christian man. Everything in my spirit that I felt you would do. He had plenty of people answer the ad, you know, that were qualified. And I had just moved to that state and I always liked to work. And so I just went and answered the ad too, knowing I've had three jobs I was never qualified for. Didn't meet any of the criteria, but God gave me the jobs. All right, but tonight, what I'm telling you is, you have to be qualified to carry the glory. It's not one of those things, well, just drop it on me, Lord, then you know, he isn't going to do that. You have to be qualified to carry the glory. All right, people are hungering for their real encounter. Right? All right, so when I went up to New Jersey Saturday, I found out that the people wanted her to have me back. They were hungry for what God did up there, and they want more of it. See, if you'll carry the glory, if you'll carry the power, it will draw people to Christ. Are you listening? And they'll want you to come back and come back and come back because they're hungry. And the church is hungry and thirsty, the church. And the world is dying. And so they need the church to get filled full of the glory of God so that the church can get this act together and God can start using the church to minister to a lost and dying world. All right? The Lord is always looking for opportunities to bring those who are desperate and hungry into a life-changing encounter with him. Now, see, there's your first qualification. The Lord is always looking for opportunities to bring those who are desperate and hungry into a life-changing encounter with him. When we look at a few stories in the scriptures, we can see the heartbeat of God as Jesus brings people transforming encounters. You know, he meets people and he gives them transforming encounters that shift the direction of their lives. Now, a few of you in here, you came in here a mess, and Alan was one of them, and Sister Barbara was another one. And I was talking to Alan about it. I have watched him transform your lives totally and completely. See, they were looking and they were searching and they were seeking. They found the Jesus Christ that they really always knew was there. All right. Let's look at it now. Now, both of them now are going to be ministering to other people and projecting out that power of God that's in you. And anointing is going, and I'm just have the Holy Spirit army, the anointing is going to fall wherever you go now because you sat and you let God change you. Barbara was a mess. She really was. But I said, God, he said, she's going to change. Just keep going. And she has changed, and God's ready to use her mightily, but then there's going to come people alongside of you, try to come alongside of you to steal that anointing. You can't let them do that. Don't let them do that. All right, let's look at the beginning of Jesus' ministry to see how he goes about finding his disciples. You see this? You're looking for disciples now, right? Okay. Here are two men, Simon and Andrew, who are going about their daily activities as fishermen. They are just going through the routines of life with the struggles and monotony of their occupation. Then Jesus comes on the scene. What is it about Jesus that calls to the heart with such authority that these men are ready to leave it all to follow him? There's something about Jesus. And there has to be something about us that men or women desire to have what you have. Mark 1:16, and as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Did they think about it? They immediately left their nets and followed him. Jesus sees deeper into the hearts of Simon and Andrew, speaking into the call upon their lives, saying, I will make you fishers of men. In other words, he took what they did in the natural to see the parallel of what they were called to do in the kingdom of God. In another instance, we see Jesus waiting for the woman at the well. The Lord had a divine appointment with her as she is drawing from the natural well of water. Jesus unveils himself as a source of living waters, where if she only knew who he was, she would have asked for these waters of life and never thirst again. Now that was a divine appointment. You can't tell me that she and Jesus appeared at that well at the same time for no reason whatsoever. All right? Some of you, God wants to give you divine appointments, but you won't open yourself up for a divine appointment. You're still trying to do your own thing, and you can't be doing that. Jesus' answer said to her in John 4:10, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. Now the Message Bible says, Jesus answered, if you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink and I would give you fresh living water. See, if people only knew the generosity of God, God is a generous God. He really is. He's a loving, kind father, and he wants his desires to give to his children. But his children don't seem to want to receive everything he has, do they? You never know. You never know when God is going to bring somebody across your life, any time of the day or night, and have a divine appointment, and he'll change their life. Now, Jesus comes to bring her the answer and solution to her desperate struggle, saying, come and drink. And Isaiah 55:1 says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. There are many, many other divine encounters that Jesus orchestrates throughout his ministry, where those who are searching come into a place of discovery in his presence. Simon, now Peter, recounts an encounter he has when he sees Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where God's glory is manifested in a tangible way. You know, up here when God says, come, eat everything and drink everything, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything to follow the Father. Everything he has is yours already because you are his child. And he just wants you to freely drink and eat of everything he has in his kingdom. So second, and Satan charges you off a lot. He takes your soul. 2 Peter 1:16 says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Peter telling the people. But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him, and from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's talking about the transfiguration. We're going to read that in just a second. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Isn't that what God said about Jesus when he was baptized too? This is my beloved Son. And here he says it on the Mount of Transfiguration. In this place where God's glory is manifested, we see some things take place. If we look at the manifestation of heaven on earth at the Mount of Transfiguration, we see that there was a physical, literal change in the robe Jesus was wearing. It is transformed to glistening white. You know, Jesus walking along the dusty road, you know his robe was not white, was it? As well, we see Moses and Elijah appear in that place, of glory. It is such an experience that Peter, in his own flesh, starts getting ideas of pitching tents. Then the voice of the Father speaks from heaven, saying, this is my Son, hear him. And Matthew 17:1 says, now this is about the transfiguration. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him, with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. That's Peter for you, isn't it? He's always wanting to do something great, isn't he? While he was still speaking, behold, a bright light. You know, even while Peter was still speaking, God interrupted. A bright light overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. The glory and presence of God. Peter had some amazingly profound encounters with God. These were all manifestations of his glory. It is what the glory of God does. It makes heaven tangible and real on earth. Now listen to this. The glory makes manifest on earth the realities of heaven. For those who are looking, searching, and needing an encounter with God, the glory of God brings about this life-changing experience. I've always said we need more than the word because it's not changing people. We need the glory of God to drop on the people. And when that glory drops in, people's lives are going to be changed. And the young lady was there the other day. She said, do you remember when I first walked into your church, I was cross-eyed? I said, no, I didn't remember that. She said, I was as cross-eyed as they come. And she said, you had a healing line, and I walked up, and you prayed for me, and I felt the power go through me, and the next morning I got up, I'm still cross-eyed. She said, every morning I get up for a year, I'm still cross-eyed, but I said, thank you, Jesus, my eyes are normal. She said, 1 year to the date, her eyes uncrossed, and she hasn't been cross-eyed since. And that's 10, 15 years ago, maybe even longer than that. But she said, I felt the power of God through me. I knew he uncrossed my eyes. Now I had to walk it out. You see that? Then she said she had cancer. And she felt the power of God go through her again. And she said she had to walk that out. And finally God took all the cancer out of her body. She had a bad heart. And she came here and we prayed. And she said she felt the electric hit her head here and stopped right here. And so God healed whatever it is in your brain that goes to your heart and caused you to have a heart attack. And her heart's been fine ever since. But she had to walk each thing out. It's nice God sends people my way to remind me of what they went through. And see, people nowadays, you don't want to walk anything out. When God says you're healed, you want it to be right there instantly. And when it isn't, then you say, well, didn't happen. He didn't heal me. And you walk out just as sick as when you walk through the door. Are you listening here? There is going to come a day when the glory is going to hit and everybody's going to be totally and completely changed. But until that day comes, we have to walk things out. All right, so I said, for those who are looking, searching, and needing an encounter with God, the glory of God brings about this life-changing experience. Jesus walked as a man anointed with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of glory. Jesus walked as a man, anointed with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of glory. Each one of us in here tonight, we can walk the very same identical way. We can walk just like Peter did with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of glory on us. It was the power of the Spirit that brought about the miracles and wonders that happened for Peter. Remember, he walked down the road, his shadow healed the people. He took handkerchiefs off his body, and they healed the people. All those things was because he walked in the power and the glory of God. You wonder why people's lives aren't being changed? Because you don't have any power and you don't have any glory. Now, you can't tell me that everybody was standing along the roadside was saved. But the power and glory that Peter carried, it saved them, healed them, set them free. Are you listening here? Come on. I can tell you many stories. One story is when I walked into the church one time, I was in my home. I just walked in there and God spoke through me and he said, I perceive there's infirmities in this place this day. And he just had me start walking through the chairs, touching nobody, but people were healed of all kind of infirmities. Why? Because I carried the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the glory. All right? The glory of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God are all very interconnected. Read that again. The glory, the Holy Spirit, and the presence of God are all very interconnected as they all emanate from the person of God. All right? I want you to get this in your spirit, because if you really want to walk with this power, you're going to have to know this and you have to work at it. When we look at the word glory in the Hebrew, the word is kabod, with the definition as the weight or the splendor. For example, we can see in this passage it being used when Moses asked God to show him. He said, show me your glory. And that's in Exodus 33:18. And Moses said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion to whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Now let's go back and read that again. Moses said to God, please show me your glory. And then God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Then God says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. In other words, he'll heal whoever he wants to heal. If he decides not to heal anybody, they're not going to be healed, right? I will have compassion to whom I will have compassion. You see this? God is saying, I'm not going to touch everybody. I want you to understand this. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. See, this is a problem with people. If everybody isn't healed in a prayer line, then something's wrong with you. But it's God and his compassion and his goodness. He'll heal who he wants to, and he won't heal who he wants to, who doesn't want to. And we think he's bad. We think he should heal everybody, but that isn't the way he works. He knows what's in everybody's heart. He knows when and if they're ever going to get healed. He knows all things. And we always are trying to change him. Right? We have to quit that. I quit that. What is the difference between the glory and the presence of God? As much as some would like to separate them, it is not all that easy. For instance, in the definition of presence, it's just P-A-N-I-Y-M in the Hebrew, it means the face of God, the front or the heaviness. All right, the presence means the face of God, the front or the heaviness. Compared with the word kabod, the word for glory, it is very similar in that heaviness and weighty are the same thing. All right. You know, I said to God a couple years ago, I said, God, when are you going to send the glory? He said, daughter, the glory is always in this church. He said, I just don't want to manifest it in its fullness right now because the people won't serve me. He said, I'm working on the people's hearts. See, and I have to stand there on the sidelines too. And I have to wait for everybody to get ready to serve God or else God move you out. Now everybody says, well, when you go out, things are different. Yes, things are different when you go out because these are people I've never been in front of before. They're people that have never heard me before and they receive me as a child of God. And therefore God moves and does miracles. That's why that happens that way. So, you know, if you're around people and you've been ministering to them and ministering to them, ministering to them and nothing happens, but then you go to another person, all of a sudden they're healed or what, or delivered, whatever it is, it's because that person has rejected you and God's not going to do anything for them, but he'll send you to somebody new and that person will receive you for who you are and receive whatever they have need of. I really want you to get this in your spirits because when God drops his glory, you're going to have to know how to carry it and you're going to have to know what God is doing. And you can't be on, heal them, heal them, heal them. And when God doesn't want to heal them. There was somebody came here years ago. They passed away. But they came here and, what was that, God? Is it Wormwood, was it? I prayed for him and prayed for him. His wife was insisting that I wasn't praying hard enough that I needed to heal him. Seeing I can't heal him to begin with. And he should have heard a story about me raising the dead. But, you know, God is God. And when I prayed with him, I heard the word wormwood. And that meant, what was that word for? Bitterness. Yeah, bitterness. And he had bitterness in him. He wouldn't let go of it. And his wife was furious. He does not. He does not. But God is God. And God said, used the word wormwood. And God told us, I'm not healing him. And she made us go to the funeral home and pray for an hour or so, trying to raise him from the dead. And we knew when we went, it wasn't going to work, but we just did it to, you know. And then her cat died, and then she, after he died, and then she said, well, see if you can raise the cat. God wasn't going to raise that. Yeah, I raised the dog, but God wasn't going to raise that cat because she said, let's see if you can raise the cat if you couldn't raise my husband type thing. You know, God's not going to let people make a fool out of him. He just is not. And so what I'm saying here is, okay, don't you get under condemnation because something didn't happen when you prayed. God knows exactly what he's doing. If we look at these verses where Moses is asking the Lord to show him his glory, God says, no one can see my face and live. So even though the definition of glory, the face, is not mentioned, it is connected in the scripture here. Then we have Moses tell God not to send him if his presence does not go with him. You know, do you know how many times I said, God, if you're not going to be there, I'm not going to go. So Moses said, let's read over here in Exodus 33:14. And God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. See, that's what God told Moses. Then Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. God just already told me he was going to go with him. But he said, if you don't go, then don't send us. I tell God, if you're not going to be with me, then I'm not going to go to that meeting. And he'll say, you go. I have you covered. But I'm not going to go there if God isn't, you know, and he says to me, I've already gone before you. I've already prepared the way. So, you know, you need to know that he's there or he's already gone before you, or don't go. Please don't go because you'll have egg all over your face. All right. I've gone many times and people sit near, even the pastor, let's just see what she can do. I can't do nothing, but my father can really show off. Always, your father can really show off. Always remember that. And so it isn't you. You're not the limelight. It's God in you that is in the limelight. And it's not you that's supposed to be performing. It's God who shows up. He doesn't perform. He shows up and he shows off. Always remember that. So if there's somebody's trying to get you to do something, don't worry about it. I tell people, you know, if God doesn't do it, it won't be done. All to say it is like trying to separate the Godhead. All right, what was I saying here? Well, there are different functions in the Godhead. That's what I want. This is just a title. All to say, it is like trying to separate the Godhead. There are different functions in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they all have the same goal. Can't separate them. It is an even narrower distinction between the glory and the presence of God. Can you have the presence without the glory? Can you have the glory without the presence? Absolutely no. Our natural minds likes to have this figured out, but to no avail. Just love the Lord and just soak in his presence or glory or both. I'm telling you, if you're going to minister to people, you better be on your face and you better ask God to show up. Or even if you're going to do deliverance, I don't care what you're doing, ministering of any type, you need to know that God is going with you. You need to know that God is there, or the people you're ministering to can really mess you up because they're already messed up. And that spirit in them will try to twist them and turn them to make you think that you're not, that there's something wrong with you, that God hasn't showed up. See, this is where you have to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. Because if you don't know it, the enemy's going to take you off course. And every time the enemy comes at you saying, you're not a child of God, look what you just did. You say, oh, yes, I am, and thank you for telling me that I am. Because that's why he's come and told you not, because he knows you are, and he's trying to make you believe him. All right, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Again, we can see the oneness of the Holy Spirit with the glory in this passage here. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, that brings transformation from glory to glory into the image of God. It's the Holy Spirit working in us that takes us from glory to glory. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order for you to be changed into the glory. You can't have one without the other. A lot of people don't want the Holy Spirit, but they want the glory. It doesn't work that way. As we spend time in the presence of God or the glory, we are being changed into his likeness. This is a place of encounter where God's world enters into our natural world, making eternal deposits into our hearts. You know, this is why I get so upset, sort of with God, because see, from the time I was born again, I've known what it is to walk in the glory. And when I walked into a room, people were transformed. And then to go through that dry seasons of 15 years was like death to me. To walk into a room and not see anybody changed, come in one way, they leave the same way. Knowing that the power of God was there, but it wasn't the same as it used to be. Had nothing to do with me, because God had stopped it in everybody, what was wrong was people were walking all over the Holy Spirit, mocking the Holy Spirit, and God told me, he said, I'm not going to allow that. So I'm going to withdraw my Holy Spirit. And when he withdraws his Holy Spirit, he withdraws his glory. You see that? And he said, I'm going to make them walk through some dry spells. And then they'll appreciate my Holy Spirit when I bring it back. My glory, I'm sorry. When I bring my glory back, then they'll appreciate it. So that's why the church has been going through a dry spell, because the church was mocking the Holy Spirit. And God's not going to tolerate that. The power of prayer. Understanding that we need the glory of God in our lives. How do we access the glory? What gets us into that place? One of the revivals I love to read about is the Welch Revival. In this revival, a man by the name of Evan Roberts spent 13 months just praying for the wave of God's glory to come. All right, so in this revival, a man by the name of Evan Roberts spent 13 months just praying for the wave of God's glory to come. Have you ever thought about praying for a wave? It is really a simple prayer when you think about it. What have you been praying for? There are a lot of things we can pray for, but a wave, I don't ever pray for a wave. I just want your glory, God. I don't want a wave. You know, I don't want a sprinkle. I want the whole thing. Evan Roberts prayed for a wave of God's glory for 13 months, and he got the wave. This revival of worship and prayer has hallmarked with an exceptional spontaneity of the Holy Spirit. It really wasn't about a bunch of great preaching as much as it was that people were finding the Lord just by getting into the atmosphere of God's glory. Once people would get into that place, they could not escape the reality of heaven on earth. Now, this is what they did. Even though worship and praise were key in this move of the Spirit, but many times it was just a cappella, people making melody in their hearts to the Lord. All they did was sit in this church and sang. That's all they did. There was no preaching at all. They just come into church and just sang quietly, and God's glory would drop and miracles happen. Y'all can't even sing. You just sit there and don't even sing. So how are you expecting the glory to drop on you? Well, I don't know the tune. Doesn't matter. They didn't care about a tune. They were just singing. And they had the Welch Revival was a powerful revival. The amazing thing is that this all began by a prayer of asking for the wave of God's glory to come. John 15:5 says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You have to abide in him. If you abide in him, there you bear. You know, if you know anything about trees, if you cut the branch off, it's not going to get any fruit, is it? The branch is going to die, right? This is God's invitation in Matthew 26:40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter into not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, Peter didn't stay awake, and he entered into temptation, didn't he? He denied Christ, didn't he? Because he didn't stay awake and pray. Can you imagine Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where all he wanted was someone to pray, stay awake with him for 1 hour? Did you know that he is still looking for those people today? Are you willing to hang with Jesus for an hour? Are you willing to just stay awake with him, to watch with him? God is inviting us to stay awake, keep watch, and pray for his glory to cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. It is a glory that will awaken the hearts of the people, bring many to know the Lord, and bring people into a place of real encounter with God. I said, it is a glory that will awaken the hearts of the people, bring many to know the Lord, and bring people into a place of real encounter with God. We are called to be catalysts of the glory of his presence. That means we are not waiting for an event to happen, but we are carrying his glory. Amen. Like we went up there Saturday, and Larry said, I know this is stressful because, you know, you're thinking about if God doesn't show up, what happens? And it is true. Yeah, I don't care if God did tell me he's going ahead of me and has my back. You're still, you know, praying and seeking God's face. And this is what I do in the car to make sure that God shows up. Amen. But, you know, some churches you could go into and God doesn't have to show up and they'd be happy anyhow. That's true. They would be happy anyhow because they don't know what to, they don't expect anything. They expect you to stand up here and give you a word and just come on home. They aren't expecting the glory to fall. They aren't expecting God to take over the person that's going to speak, you know, and just tell you what he wants to tell you. They're not expecting any kind of type of miracles. Oh, I have to tell you this. The one lady was sitting in the back, the Afro-American lady. Yeah, she was disinterested too, but she's a massage person. And when she went to work and started massaging that person, the guy said, I can feel the anointing of God all over you. She received that at that meeting. Isn't that awesome? Everybody laid hands on her. They weren't called up to the front. They just sat in their seats and got ministered to. But the anointing of God was so strong there that it hit her. And she went to work right after the meeting, and she carried it to her workplace. You talk about excited. Come on. That's what happens when you carry the glory of the Lord. It is deposited into other people's lives. And we're supposed to be catalysts of the glory. We're supposed to carry it where we go. What is a catalyst? A catalyst is a person or thing that precipitates an event. In other words, we are those who change the atmosphere. Come on. You can be a thermometer that reads the temperature, or you can be a thermostat that changes the temperature. Every place you go, you're supposed to change the atmosphere wherever you're at. Not just one place, but every place you go. I want you to be a catalyst of his glory. Through our prayers, worship, and devotion, we can change atmospheres to heaven's degree. Don't be passive, but be activated. Don't wait for an event, but create an event. By stirring the waters of your spirit to be a catalyst for God's glory today. You shouldn't be waiting to come into the house of God to see what somebody else can do for you. You should carry that glory in there and see what God's glory in you is going to do for somebody else. Amen. You can't put it on. I remember when I was first born again, I went to a church, it wouldn't accept me. Then when it got in, they kicked me out. And then I went into another church, and the pastor saw I was anointed, and he grabbed hold of me like you wouldn't believe. And I didn't know what was going on because I was just born again. And he had closed out the service. And I walked to the back because he made me a deacon, me and my husband are deacons. And we were standing back there. And all of a sudden, I just started shaking all over. And he said, everybody sit still. Sister Barbara's going to give us a word. I knew. And I mean to tell you, God gave a word. But you know what he did? He walked right up to a couple who came in 5 minutes before them. And he told them all about their sin. And what was going to happen to them if they didn't get out of their sin? They didn't get out of their sin, and I think one of them died, but they're really messed up. 15 minutes God preached to that couple who came in right before we was ready to close. And I didn't know what was going on, but he did. And that man, I stayed with that man until he died. He was one of those ones I raised from the dead, but he wanted to be dead because he didn't like the world. He wanted to be in heaven. So see, I didn't know nothing. I was just carrying the glory. You understand that? And when I went back to tell people goodbye, I wasn't expecting God to move on me. Because he hadn't before. Not that way anyhow. Because I was a catalyst, he used me because he needed somebody to minister to a couple. Why not you? One person cannot do what needs to be done over this world. It cannot. Right now, many nations I was reading for came that are being reached that have never been reached by the gospel. And I thought by now everybody's reached by the gospel. But there's a lot of nations out there are right now receiving the gospel, and people are being saved. But somebody has to be that catalyst. Somebody has to pay the price to carry that glory. And if you don't say you want to be one until you're ready to pay a price. Because to carry the glory of God, I mean to tell you the price is severe. But it's well worth it. You won't be loved. You'll be rejected. People are not going to understand you. They're going to put you down and talk about you. They're going to ridicule you. But who cares what man has to say? What do you want from Jesus? Many times I said, God, please, 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 please don't let me sin. I want to one day sit in heavenly places with you. Please keep your anointing on me so strong that I won't desire to sin, because I want to be with you one day. And he's answered that request many, many times. He said, I paid the price to carry the glory. What is he saying to you tonight? Are you listening? What are you doing to make sure that you carry the glory? The question God has before you tonight, are you willing to pay the ultimate price to carry his glory? He doesn't want a head shake and an amen. He wants the heart to cry out to him tonight. Use me, God. Change me, rearrange me, do whatever you have to do so I can be a catalyst that carries your glory. The altar's open for any one of you that really want to carry the glory. It's going to cost you everything. Absolutely everything. But I'm standing here to tell you that it's well worth the price. Well worth the price.